really did appreciate all the songs, the hymns that we sang today, and the three in the opening set especially, and the last one that we just sang. And you'll see, I think it blends right into my message today. And if you read the pastor's letter, you know what the title is. Why do you pray? That's not just you. Why do I pray? Why do we all pray? You know, have you ever gotten up early in the morning and rushed right into the day? And this is a rhetorical question because I know we all have. We had so much that we needed to get done, and we skipped praying. Well, how did your day go? Some days may go just fine. Some days you might not even notice it. I know that's happened to me. But have you ever had those days when you have skip praying, that just seemed to get worse and worse as the day goes on? Have you ever made that association that maybe I should have taken the time to pray? Maybe things would have gone better. We all struggle with this. Do I have time to pray? How important is prayer in our lives? That's a personal question that we have to ask ourselves. What is the priority of prayer for us? And if we say that it is a priority, how can we improve our prayer life? You know, sometimes, and I know I've done this, God knows everything. So why do I have to pray and talk to him? He already knows. Well, if you turn to Psalm 139, verse 1 through 4, let's read that quickly. And I'm going to read it from the NIV. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." And it's easy to get into that mindset to think, yes, God knows everything. And it's true. God does know all. And if God knows everything that we are thinking, why is he so concerned about us talking to him? And if you get one thing out of this message, please take this home with you, is because prayer is one of the main ways you and I develop a connection with God. Seems so simple. In prayer, we are talking with him. It's important, with him, not just to him. You know, sometimes prayer seems counterintuitive. In what other situation do you ask for something or plead with someone when you know their mind is already made up about what they will do? Psalm 115, verse 3, you don't have to turn there, we're reminded our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. We need to understand our place and God's place. It is true that God knows everything that will happen for the rest of eternity. He knows the big events and the small moments of every one of our lives, and nothing is beyond his control. So it's a mistake to think of prayer as the way to change God's mind or alter his direction, which we too often find ourselves trying to do. Prayer is a process of learning to trust God. God always listens patiently. He wants to hear us. He wants us to talk to him. He takes our request seriously. Then he considers everything in the context of the bigger picture that only he knows and is aware of. In prayer, we use our will to come into agreement with God's will. Let me repeat that. In prayer, we use our will to come into agreement with God's will. God knows better than you and I do what the eventual outcomes of every situation will be. We may pray for something and it doesn't occur. Well, God sees the big picture, and maybe, not maybe, God knows that what we asked for isn't the best thing in the long run, either for us or for someone else. But if we continue to talk with God, just like we talk to our friends, our spouses, we get to know each other better. We develop that closeness. You know, it's said that sometimes a spouse or a best friend knows what we're going to say before we say it. How much truer can that be than with God? He knows our inside. He knows our deepest thoughts and our deepest desires. And He is our Father, wants the very best for us. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Here we read the Apostle Paul. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul does not say that we bring our concerns to God in prayer, that God will give us peace by explaining or resolving every situation we bring to Him. But he does suggest that the peace of God in our heart and mind, and our conversation that we have, that trusting conversation with God, that we are more likely to feel satisfied and ease our fears than if God fixed every problem that we face. Through prayer, you and I develop a trusting relationship with God. And over time, we also learn to recognize His voice as He speaks to us through His Word. What I mean by that, I mean that when we pray, we're talking with God, and the way God answers us back many times is by us reading His Word. We read it, and just that one day, and I know we've all experienced this, we read the same passage that we've read many, many, many times, and all of a sudden the light bulb goes on, so to speak. We see it. That's answered prayer. That's God speaking back to us. And it's easy to overlook that sometimes. It's as simple as that. It doesn't just happen by chance. It's because we are having a conversation with God. And part of that conversation is by reading His Word and seeing what He has to say. I know we're all getting back into the routine of things after the feast. We've gotten back into that. At least most of us have. I'm sure there's a few things and a few of us that still feel kind of out of place. We haven't gotten quite back into it. But I will ask, is prayer back in our routine as it should be? Are we spending the proper amount of time in prayer, in talking with God as we should be? All of us need to develop a closer relationship with God. Don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah 1, 15 through 20, it shows that God wants to have that relationship with each one of us. And I look out here, and I virtually look out. I'll look at the microphone and look at the camera, but those watching online or listening online, unless you were forced to come to services today against your will, each one of us obviously wants to have a relationship with God. It's very evident. Or we'd be out doing our own thing. But no, we're here. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. Just a few short words. And we also read in Luke 11:9, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." This shows that we have a part to play. God wants us to ask. He wants us to seek. And He wants us to knock. And we can do that by prayer. As I said, I believe everyone in this room wants to have a deeper relationship and a more fulfilling relationship with God. And our prayer life is a major part of our relationship with God. As times grow harder, and we look around the world today, and it seems that times are growing harder. If we don't grow in our relationship with God, we're in deep trouble. I don't know how else to say that. What else do we have to cling to? Well, this afternoon, I'd like to focus on prayer, if you haven't gotten that already, and why it is important to truly understand why you and I should pray. Turn with me to Luke 18. Luke 18. Verses 1 through 8. And here we read the parable of the persistent widow. We've all heard this story. I think we all know it well. And, you know, if the unjust judge would answer the woman just to get her off his back, which is what it boiled down to, what will the perfect judge do if he knows we want to develop a deep relationship with him? But we read in verse 8, it says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Sounds like terrifying times. You know, we see signs of the end all around us, but what are we doing about it? Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1 through 5. It says, "But know that this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." I don't know about you, but every day I see more and more of exactly this thing Rather, I watch TV. I look around what's happening out at a shopping mall or in stores or at work or you name it, at school. We see more of this than we see of anything else. That's the times we live in. We see prophecy right before our eyes. And I ask, what are we doing about it? We see what's happening in Europe and all the turmoil in the Middle East. And yes, it's been going on for years and years and years and years and years, and will go on until Christ returns. We all know that. But Israelite nations, their importance is being downplayed in the world. The United States, Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, you name it. And we have the rise of the other powers. Prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes. Yet, we know it's coming. But if we don't do something ourselves, what good is it? One thing we can do is we can learn to take our trials, our daily trials, and our problems, and our hopes, and our desires, and our wishes to God in prayer. We can talk with the greatest being in all, not in the universe. The universe is limiting. We can build our relationship with God. God wants us to talk with Him. He wants to talk with us. I want to look at a couple reasons, specific reasons, why we should pray and what prayer does for us and for our relationship with God. First of all, prayer is an act to build our faith. We pray to a God we have never seen. Yet somehow we believe He not only hears us, but that He does answer our prayers. We may text and we may email people that we've never seen. That's become a thing these days with the rise of computers and technology. But God is special. God is all powerful. God is the one that created everything. God is the one with the answers. How do we believe that He hears us and that He answers us? By faith. He often answers our prayers in ways we would never understand unless we read His word or we talked to Him about specific things in our lives. How often does it happen to you when you were praying about something and the next time the good news came out, there was an article in the good news about it? Or that you were praying for someone and they were healed. Or you were praying for someone and they were delivered from the crisis or the calamity that they were in. Is that answered prayer? I believe it is. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, we read, God hears. He always hears. But we must believe that He's listening. And in Ephesians 2, 8, faith is a gift from God. Yes, it is a gift. And as we act upon our faith, it grows. When we pray and ask God, we're showing that we believe that God can answer us. And by doing so, it leads to greater faith and improves our relationship and our trust with God. As I said, God knows Jesus Christ knows everything that we need. More so than we do. And we're reminded of that in Romans 8, verses 24 through 28. And as I said, when we pray and we see an answer to that prayer, it's very humbling. Not that God necessarily answered our prayer specifically, because there was probably other people praying for the same situation, but maybe not. But it shows that God listens. God cares. But we have to reach out. We have to talk to him. We have to tell him. Yes, he knows, but he wants us to tell him how we see the situation. And then he'll decide what's best. That's the great part of it. We don't have to decide. We don't have to make the big decisions. God does that for us. God wants us to believe in him. All we have to do is step out in faith. By stepping out, we draw closer to him. By testing him, we draw closer to him. Prayer is an act of faith. It is faith in action. We need to put our entire being into our prayers. There are many examples in the Bible that show exactly this. And I know if you're like me, the first things that come to mind are the Psalms and David, some of David's prayers in the Psalms. How he just poured out his heart and what he was thinking at the time. He just talked plainly with God and said, hey, this is the way it is. This is the way I see the situation. This is what I would like you to help me with. We can do exactly the same thing, and God wants us to do that. We need, as Matthew 22 and verse 37 points out, we need to put our whole soul, our heart, and our mind into our prayers. Whether that means getting down on our knees or bowing our heads here in congregational prayer, we need to put our hearts, our minds, and our souls in it. We need to show God reverence and respect. There's so many examples in the Bible of people kneeling to pray. In 1 Kings 8 and 54, Solomon knelt and he's praying. In Luke 22, 41, Christ knelt. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, he knelt. Ephesians 3:14, Paul knelt when he was praying. Getting on our knees, an expression of humility, an expression of worship to God. It's one of the reasons we need to pray, to show God the worship and the praise that he deserves, and he only deserves. But there's the other side of that. We don't need to always think that we have to be on our knees to pray. We're not shown that anywhere in the Bible that that's the only way to talk with God. 2 Samuel 7:18, David sat down and talked with God. And then 2 Kings 20, verse 2, when Hezekiah was very sick, he laid there, very sick, and he just turned his head and he talked with God. He prayed, asking for deliverance. God wants us to put our feelings into our prayers, but our prayers cannot be just emotional. God also wants us to think things out, talk things through with him, to be logical. It's not just emotion. We're not trying to change God's mind. We're, like as I said, God wants us to present our case. God wants us to think through logically in a situation. And that in itself may be part of the answer. If we do that in prayer, I know I've done that, had problems, not necessarily in prayer, just at work. And you talk through something with somebody else, and all of a sudden it becomes clear to you exactly, oh yeah, that's what I need to do, or this is what I need to do. The exact same thing happens when we talk to God. God gives us those insights. God's with us. Many times we need to pray in order to adjust our attitude. By that I mean, who do we think we are and who do we think we're talking to? As I said before, when we come before God, it must be an act of reverence, not as holy. As we read in the model prayer, it says, hallowed be God's name. We should show God all the respect that he deserves. And we should remember that prayer is a privilege made available by God to us. It's not a right that we have, it's a privilege. God is willing to talk with us and listen to us and help us. And we can't lose sight of that fact. Turn to Psalm 143. Here it begins by David asking God to listen to him. No demands, but he simply asks God. He says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. This David just telling God, I understand. You're God. I'm David. I may be the king, but I'm in your hands. And certainly every one of us is not in the position of King David. God is God, and we're who we are. And we need to understand that when we pray to God. It's again, we don't make demands. We come before God with a respectful and reverent attitude, a repentant attitude where necessary, and God will listen. We must come humbly before our Father and His Son in prayer. We need to understand, as it says in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and also many other places in the Bible, that sin cuts us off from God. As we come with a repentant attitude in our prayers, we must be prepared to change our wrong attitudes. As I said, we must adjust our attitudes. We need to obey God. We need to obey His commandments, to come before Him in prayer. But then prayer from a humble, repentant attitude is like incense to God. It's a sweet-smelling savor. However, we turn away from God, our prayers are unacceptable. God hears them, but He certainly will not answer them. In Hebrews 4, verses 15 through 16, we read, "We come before God boldly, but once again with a repentant attitude." When we're close, when we have that attitude, our prayers are better. The incense is sweeter. We must take a look at ourselves and our attitudes before we go to God in prayer. I'm going to give you three example prayers in the Bible of praise and adoration that show this attitude of understanding who God is and why we stand or sit or kneel before Him in prayer, and that we are subservient to Him. We understand that relationship, that loving relationship, that merciful relationship. The first example I'll give you, and there's many of these, many. We have Psalm 104, verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to read just the first verse there. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, You are very great." This is David speaking with God, saying, "I understand Your position, that You're very great. I come before You humbly understanding that fact." 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 and 24 says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven and said, 'O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like You in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to Your servants who walk before You with all their heart. You have kept with Your servant David, my father, what You declared to him. You spoke with Your mouth and with Your hand have fulfilled it this day." Solomon understood the position. God has many characteristics that we can look at, we can read about, and that we can admire and we can adore, and that should inspire us. God wants us to be part of His family. He wants to be our Father. He wants us to take on many of those characteristics. And just as a suggestion, maybe a thing to do is to write down for yourself a list of those characteristics and keep them close by and add to them. And as you're praying, look at that list and use those in your prayer. Say, "Thank You, Father. You are so merciful." Or, "You're so loving." And, you know, that list would become very long for all of us. But I think the important thing is write it down. I find out the older I get, the more I have to write things down. It's easy to think, well, I can remember all those things. Yeah, but it makes a difference when you write them down, and then you can stare and go, "Oh, yeah. God was merciful in this way." And it may not be some big thing, But something that happened in your day, during your day, you'll realize God's hand was there. God made that happen. And it's because I asked. This is the one that I think we all think of as prayer. I think most of the world around us thinks when people pray, it's just asking God for something. That's not all prayer is. And hopefully by some of the things I've brought up or bringing up today, we won't be stuck on just this one thing, that prayer always has to be us asking God for something. As a matter of fact, that's probably should be the smaller part of our prayer. But God does want to hear our needs. He wants us to tell him what we see our situation as. Once again, he knows our situation. He knows it better than we do. But he wants to understand us where we're at. And as we explain how we feel and how our situation we're going through, not only does he appreciate us talking with him at that point and will help us, but once again, I think by doing that, we help ourselves. We logically think things through. It's not all emotion. It's not all woe is me or this, that, or anything. And sometimes it can be that way. Sometimes it can be just a crying session. But other times, it gives us the opportunity to get away from things and just talk with God, just as if we were talking to our spouse or talking to our best friend. I don't know about you, but growing up, my best friends, I mean, it was just so comforting to be able to talk to them. We could talk very easily to each other. We could tell each other everything. Well, that's how our relationship with God should be. You know, in Philippians 4, verse 6, tells us to let our requests be known to God. But as I said, prayers are not just about asking God to do things for us. It's just one of the many things and ways that we communicate with him and that he can communicate with us. In Mark 10, please turn there, Mark 10, verse 51. Let's go back to let's go back to 46. We can start there. Then it says, then they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, with a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And he immediately received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Jesus knew what the man wanted, but he wanted the man to express it to him. He wanted to develop a relationship. Even in that brief moment, it still was a relationship. He wanted the man to feel part with him. He does the same with us. He wants us to have a conversation with him and ask him for our needs. So, when you have a prayer, write it down. Write down what you prayed for. And then when you receive the answer, yes, no, or maybe, mark that down too. You'd be surprised exactly how many prayers are actually answered. It's easy for us to pray about something and then get overwhelmed by something else and forget about what we prayed for in the first place. But if we write it down and remind ourselves with it, it's easy to keep track of. Also reminds us that maybe God has answered, but we just haven't understood the answer yet. And we can pray for God to enlighten us more. Another reason why we pray, and we need to pray, is for God's protection and deliverance from Satan and this world. Without prayer, without God's help, and without God's Holy Spirit working constantly in our lives, we're no match for Satan. Absolutely no match at all. Out of my way. That's exactly what will happen to us. So in Luke 21, verse 36, let's go there, Luke 21, verse 36. It says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." As I said, as we draw closer and closer to the end, things are only going to get worse. And the one thing that we can do to combat against that is to draw closer to God and have him in our lives and to fight our battles with us. And we do that through prayer and Bible study. Ephesians 6 talks about the whole armor of God. Let's turn there. Ephesians 6. And verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Prayer is the last part of the armor of God. Supplication means to ask. For yourself or for others. Our flesh is weak. Humanly speaking, one of the last things we want to do is pray. But we must. We need to. We need to have that relationship. God will deliver us. God will protect us. God will guide us. But we have to ask him to do it. And that doesn't mean once a week. It doesn't mean once a month. It means constantly. As I said, we don't have to be on our knees to pray. We may not be the greatest multitaskers in the world, but we can certainly pray while we're doing other things. Not that we should always do that, but that is a possibility. In certain situations, we have to. We may be driving down the road and that we may be having a terrible situation, and we certainly can keep driving the car and pray. God will deliver us. May not be necessarily exactly the way we think He will deliver us, or we would necessarily like Him to deliver us, but He will do so. In Psalm 3, don't have to turn there, but once again, Psalm of David. And here's David once again. He says, "O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are my shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered from his holy hill. I lay down and slept." God answered David's prayer. He gave him the peace, as it said. He was able to lay down and sleep. In Luke 22, verses 39 through 42, we read, "And Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" We talk about the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It certainly was Christ showing, had a nice summary of all the points in a prayer. This, to me, is what I think of as the Lord's Prayer. Christ was talking to his Father, telling him, "I really don't want to go through this. I understand this is going to be bad. And humanly, this is the last thing I want to do. But I understand that if it's your will, I will do it." We need to be the same way. Sometimes the answer to our prayer will be no. And we may not understand immediately why the answer is no. But we need to understand that God, what God is allowing to happen in the global scheme of things, in the big picture, which only God has, it is the best for us. And Christ here reminds us of exactly that. "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Well, next week, as was mentioned, and I'm sure we're all aware of it, on Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. And it's a very special day, but it's not the only day for Thanksgiving. Every day is the day for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is praising God for what He has done. And as we heard Mr. Hendrickson, for His plan and for what He will do in the future, and what He will allow us to do with Him in the future. God has done so much for each one of us, not the least of was allowing His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. When we pray, we need to think of God's actions in our lives and recognize Him by giving thanks. This will also help us to build that trust in Him and to truly see how He has the best outlook for us and is guiding our way to that outlook. So there's three prayers that I picked out that I'd like to read. And the first one is in Daniel 2. Daniel 2. These are prayers of thanksgiving, of praise. And we can look at these prayers as examples and draw from them as we pray. Well, Daniel was in there earlier, as they once said. There it is. Daniel 2, verses 20 through 23. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the season. He removes kings and He raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things, and He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me what we asked of You, for You have made known to us the king's demand." We can be thankful for the knowledge of God's truth. We can be thankful for God's protection in our daily lives. We have so much to be thankful for. As David said, He raises up kings and He takes down kings. He does things on a grand scale that we may not truly understand at the time that we're going through it. But it is the best for us. First Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10. Excuse me. Here we read the prayer of Hannah. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in Your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside You. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. By Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and He exalts." Here, Hannah is praising God, showing her respect, showing that she understands and sees the things around her that God is doing. And you and I need to do exactly the same. As I said, we can draw from these prayers and we can make them part of our prayer life because they certainly apply. When we look back on our day, we can see all the big things and the small things that God has done for us. And you know, sometimes we'd be very surprised, like I said, if we started making a list of those things, how big and how long that list grows. And sometimes the things that we are thankful for at the end of the day are things as we're going through the day we don't even realize. But as we contemplate and meditate on it later in the day, we realize that, yes, God's hand was there. God was guiding us. He was protecting us. We need to pray for others. We need to pray for the world around us. We need to pray for our leaders. We also need to pray for fellow Christians. God, as I said, has the big picture. He has a plan. And everyone has a place in that plan. Everyone. God places them where He wants them at the time that He wants them. In 1 Samuel 7, verses 2 through 13, we can read about the prayer of Samuel for the Israelites. And he was asking God to protect them, to guide them. And in James 5, verse 16, it says to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's talking about us, that we need to have, be in conversation with each other, and we need to pray for one another. Not only for healing, physical healing, but for spiritual healing. And God does listen to each one of those prayers if we come before Him humbly and repentant. We can make a prayer list. We have prayer lists published online. And it's amazing. You see some of the situations that have occurred. And one of the ones I'll just bring up is the Grider family. You know, 40 days ago, it really didn't look good for Lucas and for the family. And as of yesterday, from what I read on the updates, that Lucas is in rehab and hopes to be home by the end of December. That's God's hand. And you know what? A lot of people were praying for the Grider family and for Lucas. And God heard every one of those prayers. God does listen to prayer. And our prayers are powerful. It, as it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. But as I said, and I gave the example of Jesus Christ asking if the cup could be removed, you know, sometimes the answer is no at that time. You know, sometimes we want something so badly. We're caught up in the scenario that we're in, and we may not clearly see everything. But God sees it all. He understands the situation. And as I said, sometimes the best answer is no. Doesn't make it any easier for us at the time to take that as the answer, but that is the answer. God did hear us, and He did answer us. And we have to understand that. Doesn't mean we can't continue to pray about a situation and ask God to help us understand why the answer is no. We can also talk to each other about certain situations and help each other through those situations and ask God to have those around us help us. When was the last time you asked God for somebody in the congregation to help you understand something? Yep, once again, sometimes the answer is no. But if you make that list, I bet you find out Most of the time, the answer is yes. Well, in conclusion, the kingdom of God is coming. It's getting very close. And we all want to be there when it arrives. But the bottom line is, if we don't put our prayer into action, nothing that we've talked about today will change our lives. If we don't pray, is it because we are lazy? Is it because prayer just isn't important enough in our lives? There are more things that are more important. We make the time for what we treasure. We need a closer relationship with God, especially as end time approaches. And as we look back at all those who have turned away from the truth, and I know almost every one of us has good friends or people that we've known that have turned away, it makes you wonder how many were praying regularly and what they were praying for. What will happen to us if we do not pray and develop a relationship to God? Well, in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, and verse 12, that one thing that I know none of us wants to hear is, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you." We never had a relationship. I don't know who you are. But as we read in Romans 12, 9 through 12, also in verse 12, we need to continue steadfast in prayer. It should be foremost in our minds. We should pray incessantly. If we do not pray, the odds are we won't make it. We can't have a relationship with God without talking with Him. Prayer is our chance to talk with the Almighty Ruler of the universe, the great God, our Father. He has called us into His family, and He wants us to talk with Him. Let's continue to pray every day, and let us truly continue to appreciate why we pray.